Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. As you heard, we were getting into marketing in our last episode. We kind of rammed down some really important information regarding the World Bank, the coronavirus, bonds that they've set up, and so forth. And I don't have the time to go and search all of these things out. But bottom line, how much and what is it going to take? How much information and evidence and what more do you need regarding evidence to prove that we have a deep state that isn't just limited to our government? We have a global deep state. And at the risk of saying conspiracy theory, the fact is, my friends, there have been people that have such a multitude of wealth that they don't, it's not about money for them. It's about control and a very evil ideology of subjugating mankind. The origins of this ideology comes from, I'll just use three different identifiers: Satan, Lucifer, the devil, period. He is the architect of this concept. And so if you understand scriptures and so forth, I don't want to necessarily go there, but if you don't, you know, let me know, and I will give you excerpts out of my first book that will give you the scriptures necessary so that you can understand that Satan has been working since Adam and Eve to get to a point where he can take full control of mankind and create such an abomination like he did in Sodom and Gomorrah, like he did in Noah's time, to force the Lord to come and cleanse this earth once and for all. And if you understand the Bible dictates that the cleansing this time will not be by water, will not be, you know, by whatever power was used in erasing Sodom and Gomorrah. The power that will be used will be fire, or I should say the mechanism or the tool will be fire. So anyway, we are at these points. I mean, most Christians all agree, but we don't agree on a lot of the details. But bottom line, if you just boil it down to where are we as far as progress in, you know, coming towards that, the end or the second coming, apocalyptic type of stuff, you will understand that we are facing those days. We have an opportunity to pull America out of this problem. We don't have to participate. We have the insights and we have the tools necessary that were given to us by the divine hand of providence in our Constitution. You have to understand this. It wasn't a coincidence that we were given a contract that was written for and by the states, that our states are the actual sovereigns over our federal government's and the Constitution. In other words, they have the authority and power to reel in the federal government. If you understand that, then all we have to do is just start taking these basic steps of getting the states to wake up. We're making great progress in several states. Many states are starting to wake up, and people are starting to love this. The Americans and true patriots, people that recognize what is on the table in front of us. If you don't recognize, then I just recommend you go back through a lot of our podcasts on reclaimingtherepublic.org, and you can actually catch up with some of the content. We provide all sorts of academic evidence. This is a show that is not based on style. This is not based on, you know, entertainment value. This is based on facts. We only give you the academic information that that proves the point of Republic Review. It's irrefutable. I've yet to have a constitutional professor or anybody that understands the Constitution to, you know, come back and say, no, the question is that person truly a patriot? Because if that person is truly a patriot and they have profound understanding of the Constitution, then they recognize the fact that I am correct, that Jefferson and Madison were correct, that the states do have the authority, it is their compact, and they can pull the states back. And one common foundation that we all have to establish the terms and definitions of that compact are the ratification debates. They completely support the concept that Madison, what all the framers had asserted, that we have a limited government based on enumerated powers. So with that, I want you to also know that we are still sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org, and that you are listening to the only show that does give you the academic evidence to provide academic evidence-based solutions. We want to help you become a part of the solution, because way too many good people unwittingly are a part of the problem, because they think that, oh, well, we just got to vote Republican. There's way too many people that are part of the Republican machine that really believe that we just got to keep putting the Republicans in. And the Republicans are just as culpable with the problem, because what we're putting in most of the time are rhinos, people that have been indoctrinated, people that have avarice, that are looking for opportunities to gain wealth and power at the trough of government. Are you kidding me? We have to take back the party as well. We'll get into that. That's going to be one of our future episodes, future shows. We're going to actually get into what is it going to take back the party. I'll get into some of the other future shows in just a second. But I also want you to understand that we are trying to provide what you need to know and understand to be a part of the solution. This is why we have a listener drive. We constantly ask you, we plead, we beseech, we beg you to please share the content of this show with other folks that are looking to get government back into the scope of the Constitution. I know that we have problems at the local and state level. The only way we're going to save ourselves is to start at the federal government, because if it falls, we all go. Like I said earlier, whether it be in this, I think it's in my previous episode, when a ship is sinking, if you're close enough in the water, even if you are a small boat or what have you, you can be drawn down into the whirlwind. It's not a whirlwind, but it's basically like a funnel effect that sucks you into the water. It will drag you with it. We got to get far enough away from the globalist so that we can keep ourselves from being pulled in. Now, folks, I'm looking forward to the day where we have an opportunity to deal with a little bit of austerity, because dealing with a little bit of austerity is far worse than being subjugated and becoming slaves to the state. Because I happen to have the paradigm, I am not going to be a slave to any state. I believe I am a sovereign. I believe we're all sovereigns. We are. When it comes to government, we are the ultimate sovereigns. We delegate our sovereignty to very specific people, but when they start violating the powers that we have delegated to, this is the brilliance of this system that the divine hand of providence gave us. That when we've delegated these powers and these powers are being abused, perverted, and manipulated against us, so that they can presume and try to assume all our powers, then we have the ability to take it back. But the beautiful thing is, we have the teeth within the Constitution to do this. So that's really important. I want you to understand we have a sponsor. It is called Red State Coffee. Go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. You can get you get that link right there on the homepage, go buy yourself some Red State Coffee, fresh ground or beans, and in doing that, you'll be able to support this show. So Another way you can support this show is also by doing that listener drive. Get other people to start listening. It's really not about money for me. That money only goes into helping us print, helping us do things, paying for things, because it costs money to buy software applications. It costs money to get things printed. It costs money to travel. I am not trying to subsidize the... I am not Soros. I can't do this. I need your help. And that's why I'm very thankful when patriots like John Duresh and his organization, the National Liberty Alliance, Bob Schultz, and others come out and they recognize and they support Republic Review as truly the mechanism. It is the plunger to draining the deep swamp or the deep state and draining the swamp in D.C. And we have other mechanisms that we need you to support as well. That's why we also support our first right, that concept of the representation not being greater than 50,000. Get informed, get involved. We have all sorts of things that will all help to get us back. Republic Review is the key. But there are lots of other things we need to implement. Like I was saying, the citizen grand jury and so forth. But I don't want to go through all of that. Today, we want to focus on marketing. Marketing is providing you news stories, giving you basically a little bit of a perspective in a different angle to say, what is it going to take to get you involved, to get you committed to actually standing up for your liberties? Because if you don't, if we don't, it's done. Then we have a different situation where we'll probably have to fight to keep ourselves from becoming slaves. And I can tell you what the outcome of that will be. I don't think there'll be lots of survivors. But with that, we'll be right back after these two promos with marketing. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic Review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so let's put the first thing in the queue. And I've been ranting on this quite a bit, but this kind of ties into G. Edward Griffin's social media. And so he exposes the fact that social media companies have made the decision to partner with health authorities, such as government officials like those who work for the CDC, to combat so-called misinformation about the coronavirus, which implies censorship of alternative points of view. Last week, the social media app TikTok, popular with youths and young adults, announced it would be partnering with the UN World Health Organization in an effort to spread trusted, quote-unquote, trusted information on the coronavirus. My friends, this is propaganda. This is taking control of information. And in a free society, it's called censorship. Social media, now this is not G. Edward Griffin, this is G.R. Mobley. I've ranted on this before, and I'm going to rant on this a little bit more. Social media, especially Facebook, or what I like to call Basefook, is really ramping up their censorship of any information with a conservative slant. I have not seen any censorship, when I say conservative, a free-thinking, independent, challenging the propaganda state. Now, every once in a while, you'll actually see, you know, a progressive friend of yours kind of, you know, standing up for some kind of information because it's, you know, it's on free speech or something that we all have common ground on. I mean, progressives do stand on common ground. They thrive on free speech, but they want to shut your free speech down. Anyway, these guys, these social media outlets are ramping up their censorship on conservative slant information. I have not seen any censorship, literally any censorship, regarding progressives' absolute false claims. If you have any progressives that you know that actually makes a post and it's a bunch of false, anything that came forth out of the impeachment process, right? Go back through these progressive friends of yours, go through their timeline and see how many of their posts that are, you know, making these absurd assertions regarding Trump, you know, his health and all of these different things. And show and look for and then show me where there has been a post that has been outlandish. It's been basically fake, proven fake, just like this climatology crap. There's all sorts of evidence that's out there that refutes all of this, but there's no posts that are done by progressives that we're all going to die, that, you know, they allow these types of things to go forward that are purely based on false information. So why is this important? Well, the fact is that this is a propaganda machine, and there's no other way to describe this. If you look at social media, it is a tool, it is a shill for the globalists. These guys are in the tank to sell us down river. Now, are you, if you live in a red state, or if you live in a blue state, or a purple state, it doesn't matter. Are you screaming at, I started off to say at your state legislatures, but I don't care. As a matter of fact, in the day of information and at the day of communication, there is no reason why you can't email every state legislature, especially focusing on the red state legislatures. Just think, if everybody that listened to this and everybody that started passing this information out, made this viral and started sending emails and make phone calls and faxes or whatever it takes to deluge, I mean, just bury these state legislatures, these red state legislatures, with requests and demands that they start looking into and taxing all these social media sites, especially going after the ones that are notorious for advertising and censorship. So a couple of cases would be Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, even Google. Google is huge on this. So the question is this: how many states out there, because I don't believe one state is taxing these social media outlets that are advertising in your state. So when you click on, you do a Google search and you happen to click on that advertisement, or whom, see, they have actual ads, and then below that, they have priorities that companies pay to be listed up higher. I know that because as a company, I can pay to list reclaimingtherepublic.org higher up in, you know, the Google, but I don't. I'm not going to do that. I know that if people are really looking, they will dig and find it. And or you don't have to go too far anyway, because I think Reclaiming the Republic, we pop up kind of high anyway, because there's no money in marketing in this concept, nor is there in any of the Reclaiming the Republics. But anyway, you'll notice that Amazon is still at the top. Let's say you're typing something that you're looking to buy and it comes up in an Amazon ad. Not a Walmart ad, but an Amazon ad and whatever companies that Google likes to provide favors for. And you'll notice that Amazon happens to be the top listings. I mean, you have to go a few pages to get past all of that. You're better off if you're using Google going straight to page 10, if possible. If not, you should be using DuckDuckGo as your search engine. But my point is that every time you click on one of those links, whether it be an ad or whether it be a priority link, Google is making money. And they just made money as you made that click in your state. So by you taking a commerce act on the internet, by clicking on something and Google just making a penny per click, how many pennies per click is Google making a day, a week, and a month in your state? Going to Facebook, all these little ads that are coming up. And you know what? These social media sites really hate some of these apps that are starting to come in and or extensions in your browsers that will block advertising on Facebook, block advertising on some of these social media sites. They don't like it. And as a matter of fact, they're going down this path of how can they eliminate and stop these things from actually blocking these ads, because they make money if you happen to accidentally click on something. The bottom line is, let's say how many candidates are running ads in social media on Facebook. I knew candidates who actually spent $1,000 to help boost their information, thousands of dollars to boost that stuff. Even Bloomberg spent millions of dollars that went across the United States. So those millions of dollars that he paid, how much of that money was paid into the States because Facebook was throwing those ads and people were getting those? Bottom line, they're making the money off of it. They're forcing those things down your throat. Whether you like it or not, you should be able to collect, and your state legislatures should be able to tax these social media sites, as well as, you know, these tech companies like Google, just on basic Google searches. So you need to start screaming and sending these demanding emails to state legislatures. This is one thing you can do on the side, but just send emails out to every single state legislature in red states and ask them why they are not taxing the marketing and the advertising that all these social media sites and tech companies are ramming down your throat. If you're not doing this, then you're really wasting an opportunity, because this is how we can actually force them. Because on top of this, you have to concede that these organizations, Facebook and so forth, are actually functioning on the internet, and they are dictating what their grounds of censorship is acceptable. Because I want to get back to this whole concept of censorship. As far as the censorship, idea or paradigm goes, states have the ability to stop this. You know, it's one thing for the states to come in and say, we want to outlaw you to presenting any information regarding Trump. So let's say California, these communists down there want to censor. They want to contribute to censorship. That would be a violation of the First Amendment. But states can actually stand up and say, we will not allow social media sites to violate the First Amendment by censoring information. and they can outlaw them. And then you can start having another form of revenue on social media. You know, these tech companies want to spend billions of, or use their billions of dollar, you know, footprint throughout the world and start influencing us. State legislatures need to get into the political ideology of going into warfare against these guys and say, you want to exercise censorship? Then we are going to fine you, you know, every day of every month that you are exercising censorship. And so all you have to do is, you know, all they need to do is create a small little agency for people to send their samples of censorship and go boom, boom, boom. And so instead of actually going per case, just saying, if you're doing censorship on this given day, because if we have a case that it's actually occurred on this day, then, you know, you're going to be, you know, fined on this given day and every day of the month until these things stop, and go after them for millions of dollars for censoring and violating the First Amendment. Watch these tech companies run to the federal government to say, please protect us, please help us. We have, you know, we have a calling, we have a mission that's supporting the deep state. Please, we've got to be able to do this. We can shut them down, friends. The Constitution protects us, and it protects the states from being able to be tyrannical. It also protects us from the deep state using this type of tyranny. Anyway, we will be back with more information and more marketing after these two promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
My final comment regarding this whole social media censorship and how the progressives are, oh, we got to protect ourselves from fake news. I believe states absolutely should start setting up regulations, one, to ensure that the freedom of information goes through, but the state has the responsibility. It's the state that should be labeling or marking things as, okay, and this is how I believe states should regulate journalism in the news. Now, when it comes to social media, that's people. Unless you go to, you know, CNN on Facebook and they're promoting a bunch of fake news, that's one thing. But when individuals happen to be making assertions, memes, and what have you, come on. Don't let them convince you that you're an idiot and you need to be protected from yourself and others, you know, to censor this type of information. But more importantly, states should be able to actually start labeling agencies like CNN, MSNBC as, what do you want to call those, tabloid type of news. In other words, not factual news. And as a matter of fact, those types of entities, I believe news and journalist agencies, I think get a what we call a preferential treatment towards being able to have access. Now, I don't know if the Globe and what are those, the Inquirer wants to know, right? I mean, they used to have all of these sensational stories. It was tabloid crap, right? I'm not sure that they get preferential treatment like the news agencies when the White House has a press, you know, press conference and so forth. Fact of the matter is, states should be able to regulate that to where tabloids don't, you know, have that type of access. They don't necessarily get preferential treatment. You know, you'll have a let's call it a what do you call that, where you basically do a raffle so you can, you know, pick out which tabloid can come in to cover this particular news event so that they don't all come and only the legitimate journalists can actually come in and provide the information. When New York Times runs most of their stories with propagandas and or intent to persuade the public in thinking a certain way, such as promoting homosexuality or, you know, anti-gun rights and those types of things, that means that they are tabloid. They should be labeled as such, and the New York Times, so if you're following me, if states started creating these types of standards to say, sorry, you're really not a news agency, you have a slant. That would even clean up on the conservative side any conservative slants. I think that we would find ourselves moving journalism back to objective journalism once again so that we just get the facts and information. And oh my, what a surprise. You, the people, we'd be able to actually make the determination for ourselves based on the information instead of being told what we're seeing and what this all means. That's what's really important. And oh, by the way, the freedom of the press is not guaranteed by the Constitution's First Amendment and 14th Amendment and applied to the states. The same thing, and I talked about in the previous episodes, that the Establishment Clause does not apply to the states either. The only thing that applies to the states are the individual privileges and immunities that are guaranteed by the Constitution. So, newspapers are not individual privileges and immunities. Same thing with the Establishment Clause. That's not an individual right. That is an organizational right. And so the federal government has constraints on organizations and individuals, if you understand. So there are the facts. Moving forward, G. Edward Griffin also reports by, it actually states that investigative journalist John Rappaport stated that death by itself, now this is basic government manipulation, right? Death by itself does not equal coronavirus, and that the word death is being matched with the coronavirus to make people believe in the lethal outbreaks, to bring the numbers up with the cases. So in other words, he has analyzed the 9 deaths in Washington state and revealed that the body count included presumed, quote-unquote, coronavirus deaths that could have other causes instead of the coronavirus. It is unknown whether the people who died were treated with toxic antiviral drugs or whether they had pre-existing lung conditions and or what have you. So, The question is, are you more susceptible? Well, I think that's getting proven. One of the things that I asserted of the mortality rate as it was in China, the mortality rate was being deemed by, as it was reported by Mitchell Nicholas Gerber, it was looking like a 20% mortality rate. I believe that we're going to find that the mortality rate will vary from one country to another country and so forth. And some of this may be directly correlated. It takes time to measure all of this data. It takes time to measure results. There's something can't just happen and you have a crystal ball that's going to give you the infinite knowledge. Now, There's only one person that I know of throughout the history of time who has that type of knowledge, and he's not here at this point in time. He's coming back, but he's not here now. And so what we have to do is we have to wait on scientific processes to, you know, to go through and examine all this information. So let's look at the facts. We do know that nutrition is different throughout these different countries. We also know the environment and the health, the healthiness of the environment is a lot different. There could be a lot of extenuating factors that dictate where the mortality rate may be higher in, you know, these third world nations. And, you know, China doesn't like to call itself a third world nation. It seems like it's a developed nation. But if you look at the pollution standards that they have and how they basically poison their people in the air, the water, and so forth, I mean, they don't even have OSHA over there. They don't have any of the protections of the people. I mean, the people are the most expendable as far as the Communist Party is concerned. Why even give them that kind of respect? As a matter of fact, they're implementing tools and everything else to control the masses. But that's okay, because the masses will all be dead, and there'll be more. Everybody that will be remaining will have to be a part of the system to monitor each other. I mean, nobody will be able to do, you know, manufacturing, because they're all going to end up dying because they're not having babies. That whole, there is so many problems with what's going on to China. Remember, it takes time to measure results. And over the course of the next probably 50 years, we are going to have whopping data that is going to come out of China that will prove that government controls and government manipulation and so forth once again destroys a society, because that is the path that they are on. And the Communist Party has to have that level of control, and they don't care. There's like playing chicken with their own society, and they don't care. So anyway, let me get back to this. Or I should say, let me get back to the need to know news. I'm going to play some context here, because the next story is on Julian Assange. And Julian Assange has been in the news, where he's actually been mentioned by Roger Waters on Tucker Carlson. And so I know there's a lot of people that admire Julian Assange. And I love the fact that he goes out and he gets data by through hacking or what have you. If you have data that is on the internet and it can be ethically hacked, and when I mean ethically hacked for journalist types of purposes to be exposed, then I'm okay with that. But if you receive information, if you receive data that you couldn't get to yourself, you couldn't hack into, and you get something that was on a closed circuit that was sensitive, and you publish it, I don't care if you're Julian Assange, I don't care if you're the Russian government, you are exercising I consider that warfare, because it's informational warfare. So what Snowden did, he exposed, and what was it, Chelsea, guy that was in the army that became Chelsea, he actually took information from a closed network and gave that to Julian. And Julian should have understood that that was classified government. There were people's lives that died because he published that. He needs to be held accountable to that. I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, we want information to be available and everything else, but you know what? You have to answer to the consequences when people die because of what you've done. It is not about making, you know, the news or getting into the next news cycle. Snowden has had his 15 days or 15 hours or 15 seconds in the news. As far as I'm concerned, he needs to be caught, captured, brought back, and tried, because what he did was not some conscientious thing. Here's a guy that wanted to elevate himself, and I've gone through this before. Look at the evidence. This guy was stealing data from the beginning. beginning, and he had every intent to try to use that as he was getting smarter based on the people he was working with. He self-promoted himself into a position to where he thought, okay, I'm going to be able to, you know, get away with, and he had this plan. There's no doubt in my mind. I believe that if we could actually, you know, maybe violate the conscience of this person, we could probably access his brain and prove. I have a high confidence that he had every intent and had a plan of doing everything that he did, all for his own self-gain. He's a narcissist. Anyway, we'll be back after these next two promos to close up on some more marketing. I get excited with this stuff. How about you? Anyway, we'll be right back.
Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so Julian Assange, this is according to G. Edward Griffin. Let me get off of my rant and get to the marketing. Julian Assange is facing extradition charges to the United States for espionage, which could lead to over 170 years in prison if he is convicted for publishing secret documents in a video of attacks by the U.S. on civilians in the Iraq war. Now, again, I think that if it is out on the open and it can be hacked, then I believe that if it's for journalist purposes, that's what should happen. I mean, I'm okay with that type of stuff being exposed, but I do know that when it comes to classified information, that stuff is on separated networks. It's not just encrypted, but there are actually physically separated networks that you have to have encryption. In other words, there has to be a great level of espionage being done just to be able to access that information. It's not just simple hacking on your computer. You're getting involved in comms and crypto and that type of stuff. So anyway, Julian Assange is going to be extradited, could lead to 170 years in prison if he's convicted for publishing secret documents and video attacks by the U.S. on civilians in the Iraq war. Tucker Carlson interviewed bleeding heart communist liberal Roger Waters, the co-founder of the rock band Pink Floyd. And so you can see, I mean, I like the Pink Floyd music, but when you start, you know, getting your... when you're in the public sphere and you want to get into, you know, your ideological policies or politics and start espousing them, then you start exposing yourself to where you stand. And Roger Waters is supporting the globalist enslavement of peoples. He's a communist because he supports all of these types of things and the types of policies, such as, his cohort, who I guess they're mortal enemies now, David Gilmour, I reported a while back that he auctioned off a lot of his guitars and used the proceeds of that auction to give to climate change or to give to saving the world from climate change. And so these guys are hardcore ideologues of communism. So anyway, Roger Waters, who said that Assange is being used as an example to discourage other journalists from publishing information that ruling powers do not want to be published. Okay, so here's the fact. You know, it's free information that's out there, and I believe we need to be standing up for hacking and exposing that type of stuff that's out there. And I advocate that because I think it's really important to get into what's going on behind the scenes with the DNC. What he did was a huge service. And so I think some of those things need to go into. But here's the other thing. Are there actually laws that are on the books, or are we making and concocting laws? In other words, is the U.S. government creating ex post facto laws that take something that was actually, because, you know, espionage and one thing is different. Manning should have been, you know, completely punished. It was Obama, by the way, who let him out and helped pay for his transgender reassignment. And I think that was that may have been the deal, that he goes to jail and then he can become, you know, whatever sexual orientation or whatever, you know, body he wants. And anyway, it's repulsive. But that being said, Roger Waters said that the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Manchester Guardian all published the same information as WikiLeaks, but only Assange has been charged. And so, where did that information come from? Are these the Times, the Post, and the Guardian, are all of these newspapers also hacking? They're coming up with this? Are they getting the same information from WikiLeaks? What is the real source? Bottom line, Assange has done a lot of great things. Did he operate under at a point in time where there were really no laws on this? Because whether there were any specific laws to say, hey, if you publish this on the internet and make it available to the entire world, you know, okay, he might actually be, he may have been culpable in aiding the release of this information, but if we don't have laws, then this is an ex post facto law. We need to get to the facts, but bottom line, he's done us a lot of service by exposing the deep state, by exposing the corruption of the Democratic Party. But he's not necessarily a hero. And I think this is all a part of changing our paradigm regarding journalism. Whether you're fake news, whether you're, I'll just use the word reckless journalism, where you're actually putting people's lives on the line, then people die because of the information published. There has to be some accountability and responsibility to that. Getting back into another theme of government manipulation, G. Edward Griffin reports that the New York Times tech correspondent Paul Mazur, who lives in China and has been tweeting about the country's increase in surveillance of its citizens that includes making people download software to track their location and sharing it with police. In other words, they're using all forms of coercion. They're not living in a free society. They are flying drones to make sure people are wearing masks and people are wearing helmets with facial recognition cameras that can also take people's temperatures. Living in the police state, Mazur wrote that the precedent that is being set in China is likely to include newly empowered neighborhood committees conditioning people to accept checkpoints and companies sharing location information from apps directly with the Chinese police. the Chinese government rolled out a new internet law to ban all negative content and is expected to ban criticism as well. That is the full police state. And when we start looking at these types of laws being passed, I mean, it's one thing for censorship to be done by corporations. We should be passing laws that demand that, you know, they can't censor information, that we protect our First Amendment right. The freedom of expression and thought. And so if you want to post something, now if you are a news agency and you're creating fake news, it is not for them to do that. It is for the government to dictate whether they be tabloids or what have you. And I think that we need to change how we view journalism so that if you're a tabloid, you're basically a propaganda machine and you probably need to be taxed a certain way. I don't know if we even tax journalism and so forth, but there needs to be different standards so that there's a cost. If you want to be tabloid and out there doing sensationalism and fake news, okay, we're not going to shut you down, but the bottom line is you're going to be labeled. Everybody's going to know that you're a tabloid. You're not a true journalistic organization. And there's a cost to that, that you're going to not just have a perception cost, but there'll be a financial cost because you'll have to be registered as a different type of company, as a propaganda machine or what have you. That's probably the best way to go. Now, I don't necessarily have all the answers, but I can come up with one or two because I think you can too. I think anybody can start understanding how we want to get government out of manipulating and moving towards, you know, a management of guaranteeing liberty. All laws should be guaranteeing liberty. And if there's organizations out there that are using manipulation and misinformation to manipulate us into a certain belief paradigm or what have you, then that is not what we would call guaranteeing liberty. That is manipulating people into a specific paradigm or into specific behavior. Not liberty. Anyway, G. Edward Griffin also pointed out another government manipulation in Italy has quarantined 16 million people, more than a quarter of its population, after about 5,800 people were diagnosed with the coronavirus and 2,233 were reportedly dead from it. Investigative journalist John Rappaport says that just because a government calls a quarantine does not prove that the coronavirus is a lethal epidemic any more than the flu. He says it is unclear how the 5,800 coronavirus cases were determined to be from the virus when the tests are inaccurate and in many cases the tests are not even done at all. Patients who die of something other than the coronavirus can be presumed to have the virus if they were in proximity of someone who either had the virus or who was presumed to have it. These are called presumptive cases. So if you can understand how the government, the news, and everybody can, let's say, collude or corroborate a way of managing information, then they can create a paradigm that is manipulative in creating a scare, a rash level of fear or irrational fear by the populace and by the people. That's manipulation, that there is no need for government to be involved in that kind of crap. It's one thing for, you know, an organization, hey, we're the irrational fear group, and we're trying to create irrational fear in your neighborhood. You know, if that's your business and that's what you're doing and people are paying you for that, that's okay. But there should be some laws and some standards and what have you that I'm sure are brilliant liberty guardians in the state legislative bodies. In other words, these guys that are state legislator sovereigns should be able to come up with ways to protect us from that kind of crap. But anyway, we'll have more marketing in our next episode. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic. And we need your help. So what's it going to take for you to get involved? I don't know. We'll wait for that. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.